All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday. The weather outside is absolutely crap, so what you should be doing is making sure you settle in and enjoy the next 3 hours with us. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects. All the anniversary crap is behind us, and now we're ready to just roll on to a new year. Hopefully you are too, and we will be entertaining you until we turn it over to Fred AJ and the Blitz at 4 p.m. With that being said, roll call is not necessary because I've already told you everybody's present and accounted for. And since Barry's mimicking every word I say, we'll just bring him in to get the audio to go with the visual that you cannot see.
I was trying to keep up with you. You ever had somebody, like my mom was always guilty of this, where she thought she knew the words to the songs and then she didn't. She would just kind of I was trying to see if you know how some people will be like a word behind and then think that they that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to see if I could predict everything that you said.
How'd that work out for you?
Not very good.
Okay.
I got the what up H-Town.
Well, we knew that was coming.
Hey, how you doing? And that was it. And then it was
I kinda added that.
Yeah, you recently added
organically.
It.
I don't even think I did it. And all of a sudden I was listening one day and I was like, whoa, I say that every day.
Yeah, you do. It was. It's been in the last couple of weeks too. Maybe after January.
Maybe right around first of the year.
New
that
year
sounds about right.
It's a new wrinkle.
You know,
a little some something. How you feeling?
Sometimes when you're ballsy, everybody needs a new wrinkle.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, better.
I can't believe I
agree see
that,
you braved the elements today. You're staying true to your word of running every day this week.
Yeah. Let me tell you about my stupid ass this morning. So I did not check the weather before I went running, and. My wife had said, hey, it's going to rain tomorrow. And I was like, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, like when? She goes, I don't know, probably sometime, you know, mid-afternoon or whatever. I don't know, just tomorrow. So I look out, I get up early. She wakes me up when she leaves at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'm getting some work done and I look outside and it's ugly, but it's not raining. I thought, you know what? Let me go get this run in now before it starts raining. And it was cold too. It was like 42 degrees. When I left. So I put on a sweatshirt and I put on some long pants and I get 2 miles into my run and it starts pouring. Now, I don't run in a circle where I can just circle back to the house. I run 2 miles away from my house and then turn around and run 2 miles back, partly because it makes me run the 2 miles. Mm-hmm. It makes me run four. So if I try to just do like a loop or something, I could stop and quit and wouldn't get it done. So, I mean, literally, as I'm hitting the 2 mile mark and turning around, it just starts pouring and it's cold and people are passing me and I'm thinking, well, someone's going to offer me a ride, surely. Not one of these hateful ass people in my neighborhood offered me a ride in the pouring rain. And then it starts getting so cold that I'm like, I think my pinky toe fell off. Like my shoes are soaking wet and I can't feel my feet. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I left my pinky toe back there. I should probably circle back and get it because I can't feel it anymore. So it has to be gone. It was just, I was miserable. And this is the time where I decided I wasn't going to take my headphones. I was just going to go run and try to run through my set list for the weekend and clear
no
my
music or anything.
Nope. Just the sound of rain laughing
well, that's
at
the
me.
The toughest thing you did on this entire run.
Yeah, it was run without music.
You didn't tough out the pinky toe, and you didn't tough out wanting a ride. I think this all stems back to the trivia night. I think that you verbally assaulted too many people on trivia night. No one was giving you a ride.
Like, what are you talking about?
There's that a-hole that was killing us on trivia night. Make him run in the rain.
Yeah, but man, it was cold.
Yeah, I've been on the treadmill lately. I'm not doing the outside run until the weather gets a little better because I like to run at night too, and we don't have lights in our neighborhood that light up the path. So I get on the tread when the Rockets are on. And I run for like the first quarter and a half, and then I'm done with it. But yeah, especially with the fact that Lisa's sick, Taylor's been sick, I'm like,
I'm not risking it, man, because I've been hanging on, avoiding it for the last 2 weeks, and I just don't want to blow it now.
That's the other thing that worries me is getting sick right before the weekend. Like, I'm starting to get congested.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, if I get the flu before my big, like, I've been waiting on this weekend for really, I don't think you guys even understand how excited I am about this and how nervous I am about this. And if I got sick, oh, so I made my wife stop and get me vitamins, and I get the gummy ones because I'm too big of a wuss to take like regular vitamins.
Been extra protective with your lettuce, not letting anybody touch
it. You're damn right.
Pinky toe freezing off. But I took home from a run.
Gummy vitamins. But maybe I'm overdoing it. Can you OD on vitamins?
I don't think not on vitamin 135? C, right?
Huh?
You want to get down to what, 135?
Yeah, I'd like to be a size 7.
Drop a dress size.
I want to be able to
drop
shop.
A dress size before you get to Friday.
I want to be able to shop at the 357 at the mall. So my wife comes home with the gummy vitamins. I ate four as she walks in the door just immediately. And then I had four this morning, two before I left. So I've had like 10 of those vitamins in less than 12 hours. Is that excessive?
I don't know. I don't think it's not going to hurt
point,
you.
I don't think your body's going to do anything with the excess, so you're fine.
I don't
it's
know.
Not a, like OD and
do
all
those
that
emergency
other stuff.
Drinks.
I'm telling you right now, Zicam. The minute you feel something coming on, take the Zicam. I did it last week when I felt like something was coming on. It avoided everything but a bit of a sore throat. And I'm telling you,
that or one of those disgusting wellness shots with garlic and ginger
like
root and all that stuff.
Yeah, just make it green.
Weren't you
going to
bring one of those and I was going to try it on
the air? Oh, yeah, that's right. I never brought it.
Yeah, you failed us on that.
Shocker there.
I don't think you would have taken it anyway.
Attaboy. Rely on Nick.
Yeah, Mr. A-hole Nick. What? So what?
You know
what? Let's talk about what. So I get my healthy gourmet. I gotta look at what it was because it was actually really good. I don't know if you got all vegan this time, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I got some for Lisa, but I got the chicken meals.
So it was the hearty beef stew.
Okay.
And it's only 210 calories. Yeah, 210 calories.
That's good.
And so I've got that. I warmed it up. I brought my banana. I'm drinking my water. I'm Mr. Healthy. And A-hole Nick comes in and goes, chewing on French fries. What's up, guys? And he goes, I'm just going to set these here and puts them right in front of us.
Yeah, he's like,
right
help
in the
yourself.
Middle of the desk. And
sharing
he goes,
is Karen.
And then he goes, this is why they call it a weight loss challenge, because it's a challenge to see if you guys won't eat these French fries. Like, you're such a jerk.
You got to fight temptations. It's a part of the challenge.
How much have you gained since we started the weight loss challenge?
I don't know.
I'm just curious. Because it's got to be a couple pounds.
I'm not weighing myself before and after haircuts. Like, very. I weigh myself once every, like...
Can you still fit in your pants?
Yeah.
Barely?
Sure. No, it's the same. It's about the same.
I mean, yesterday when we took the picture, I had my arm around you. You felt
shirt,
a little plump.
I can't close it no more.
I was like, oh, my goodness.
I can't close
are these
the shirt
saddlebags?
No
you, can't close
shirt?
You can't close your
you
shirt
see
anymore?
It closed? It's hilarious.
Can we get a picture of it?
Yeah.
You want some new
like
grip?
It's literally, like, the button's
so
literally
going to,
like, fly off and hit you in the face with it.
You know, in Star Wars, when Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker are fighting, and then Luke Skywalker is hanging onto the ledge by deer. That's what his buttons look like right now. They're just like, "You're not my father," and then he's gonna fall.
Actually, there was a little bit in
their
shirt.
They're gonna pop off and shatter that glass.
If you look closely to the shirt that I posted yesterday, top two,
yeah, they're tight. I saw it. I was like, "Dang, Nick." What is
Smash
that?
Burger goes down hard.
What
man.
Is that? An extra small button up? What do you? Is that a Granimal shirt? What are you wearing? Oh my goodness! Did you get that at Baby Gap? What are you wearing?
It's a regular
man. You better get your fat ass on a treadmill.
I do. Or just
running.
Stop eating.
That's flex fabric. Yeah. That's the new flex fabric.
Man, yeah, you need to definitely switch to a zipper.
I love
I need to go
too.
All stretch on
AJ.
All the clothes.
First of all, AJ imitating you yesterday was hilarious.
Oh, you see, I like that. I like that Joel's okay with it when he's busting my balls. Joel's
yeah,
like,
he's
that
always busting
but if
mine.
It was Joel,
but he was still busting me and Nick. Like, well, I respect those guys, but you know, I also respect the fact that they realized they had some to take off so that they avoided the pizza. Some to take off. You took off a semi-trailer in 1 month by quitting drinking, and you're still big.
Nick, you missed the awkward high five between them two yesterday.
Because I didn't want to do
y'all
it.
Had a high five?
Both of these guys hate each other, and they act like they don't. Yeah. They want to pretend like they don't, but they really can't stand each other. And so they both know it, so they both screw with each other. So then AJ's like, what's up, guys? Being all smart ass, happy anniversary. Like typical AJ.
He goes, high five.
And then he's like, high five. And Joel's like, no. And then, but AJ's in the way, so Joel can't go around him, so he has to high five him. And it was so awkward.
And I go, at least we weren't Tiger Woods and Stevie Williams. We got the hand right and everything, but I was like, no.
I wish I would have recorded how awkward that was. And then AJ, I don't know, apparently, I wasn't listening, but apparently he was talking crap about me being fat.
Oh, it's fantastic.
But I came in the studio at one point to show him my belly.
Yeah, after that, after he was busting your chops, then you came in and did that, and he had said something about, like, Barry's not happy unless he's so skinny that his pancreas is pushing through, and you can see it pushing through his abdomen.
I've never been that skinny.
Well, he also said you throw up after every meal, so I'm sure he was exaggerating.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, and he also imitated your voice like a Valley Girl when he said you had to go throw up because you ate a something sweet.
Yeah, I heard that part. I was in there with John when he was doing that. Okay. And then somebody's like, oh, Barry's getting roasted. I'm like, bro, are you listening? I'm in the producer's room. Like, yeah. I know what's going on. But the awkward high five was pretty great. It was pretty smooth.
Is this Ribbon in the Sky?
Oh, yeah. Way Back Wednesday today.
Yeah, so I was going to
get
to that.
The theme for Way Back Wednesday.
Wedding songs pre-2000.
Yes.
So
now
I kind of misunderstood it. So I did.
Joel's trying to make love to us.
Well, first of all, this is my first dance song of my wedding.
Joel's trying to have sex with Nick or myself. I'm not
sure
which.
Neither one of those are an option.
But he put together a list where he's definitely trying to get laid on the show.
So the important tidbit to come out here is that this was the song that we played for our first dance in my wedding. But
well,
that's
acceptable.
Yeah.
After this, though.
And I also left the song so that Nick might have something to work with.
Yeah, because there's no way. Nick, have you ever even been to a wedding?
I've been to a wedding, a-hole.
Of course, Barry, there's cake. I gotta
a-hole.
Go. There's free dessert. I'm going and drink.
What did you take for a present? What'd you get him?
A car.
I don't even remember. It's been a while since I've been to a wedding.
Some fries from Smash Burger
e-card.
Did.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
I got him an e-card.
I'd bring him anything. I mean, if it's a big wedding, I mean, is it that noticeable that you don't bring a gift?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
is it?
Yeah.
They know. Like, they track it.
Well, I made that mistake a few times.
I would guesstimate over 40% of the people that had the greatest experience at our reception and wedding didn't get a gift. Didn't send a gift. Within a year. Because you have a year. At least 40%. And they got smashed and ate their ass off and had the greatest time and were complimentary of everything. But yeah, because you keep a list.
Yeah.
Nick,
oh, yeah.
Somebody's
in charge.
What if it's like a massive party, though? What if it's like 500 people, 1,000 people?
Well, then you got a lot of thank you cards.
You've got somebody
to
keep a track. When they show up, you usually put your name on the gift, but people will
And if
write
they
it
find
down.
Out you didn't get a gift, what are you going to do? Not invite them to the next wedding? Like, what's going to happen?
Bro, you're acting like people are staying married forever. That ain't happening.
That's true. People get married like 3-4 times now. It's normal.
Yeah.
So I joked. I did the first dance songs. Barry did the first drop your pants and go crazy on the dance floor songs. And Nick gets the throw the bouquet or garter songs.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Somebody's making fun of me. They said gummy vitamins. You get up in front of hundreds of people and tell jokes and you can't take small regular vitamins? My goodness. No, they taste terrible. Like the pills, the
You're
ones that you
to taste.
Why
them.
You, just, why are you tasting
yeah,
pills?
Yeah, why are you tasting them? If you swallow a pill quickly, you don't ever taste it.
These ones I used to take, they were horrible tasting vitamins. Well, why I switched to the gummy.
What you're
with
doing
the
with your
sugar.
Hand? It's not supposed to be the size of a
it's
golf a, ball.
It's like a horse pill. It's huge.
Jeez.
Wow, that's a big vitamin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta. Never mind.
Would be a big bowel movement.
Don't make me dump you.
I was about to get a letter from the FCC with that one, so I'm glad. God, I'm getting good at censoring myself. You're welcome.
So Way Back Wednesday, I guess I'm going first. So I'll take you through the first dances, then Barry will take you to the dance floor, and then Nick will somehow finish it all off with something from Siri. That's the way we're doing Way Back Wednesday
today. I'm almost done. I'm about to tweet it.
That's good. At least you're still working. Also, if you guys want to reach the show, we're just getting started, so we love your participation. That's why we call it The Usual Suspects. That's what you are. 713-780-3776. HR&P listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. I've been telling you, if you need anything done repair-wise to your wheels or your tires, or you're just looking to spruce up the overall appearance of your vehicle and you're looking for new rims and tires, there's only one place to go. It's American Wheel and Tire, and they take it a step further. Not only do they have rims and tires and can repair even your stock rims and tires before you have to replace them, even if other big stores are telling you that you need to get rid of them and buy new, they can probably fix them. They're also going to spruce up your entire vehicle. They have lift kits. They have steps. They have lights. They have everything for your SUV or your pickup truck. And they can also do Kevlar coating and do all kinds of one-of-a-kind looks for your exotic cars. That's the way they do it at American Wheel and Tire. They're conveniently located 290 and 34th Street. You can go on AmericanWheelandTire.com and see all the great things they've done to spruce up vehicles, because there's really a lot of good-looking cars and trucks. And they're going to save you money in the process, because they've been in Houston for over 15 years, and they know that you guys are going to periodically have a flat tire or issues with your car, truck, or SUV, and they want you to take it to them first, because they're going to treat you right. They're going to be upfront and honest. They're going to communicate throughout the process. They got a really comfortable waiting room, and that waiting room has a big window where you can actually watch your car being worked on. And they're going to hope that whenever you need something that it has anything to do with your car, you check with them along the way. Check them out, American Wheel and Tire, 290 and 34th Street, or AmericanWheelandTire.com.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, Etta James at last, as I, of course, we'll get the blame, but I don't care. I'll do the first dance song. This was another popular one with a lot of folk. So
it was Slice, not Flash, by the way. Grandmaster Slice.
I was going to say, Grandmaster Flash didn't have a female.
I knew it was one of the damn Grandmasters. Lenny wants to know, are we going to come back with Chicken Dance? No. No, the Chicken Dance is not going to be on the list of waves. It better not be, Nick. It better not be on your list. Trust me, I've got plenty of hacky marriage songs on mine. So, well, I've got that covered for sure. And then somebody said, was Jagged Edge's Let's Get Married pre-2000? It was actually 2000. Or that would have been on my list, because I like that song. Not that it's a great wedding song, but it's about getting married. So,
well, there's a ton of great, of easy ones, I should say.
Sure.
For post-2000. But, you know, it is what it is. You guys right. kept up with the whack idea, so we're just going to follow through with it. And I just decided to slow it down for you guys just
you
to
did.
Torture you.
You, yeah.
Wait till we get to Elvis.
Oh, my God. Is yeah. it bad? Which one did you pick?
Don't worry about it. You'll hear
Oh, no.
Just make sure Nick gets his chicken dance.
Let's talk about something upbeat.
Josh McDaniels quit on the freaking Patriots.
I was going to say, that's what I wanted to go to.
I mean, quit
to.
On the Colts. I was shocked, man. I ran out last night and got in the car, the radio's on, and I thought that they were kidding around. I think Fred and AJ were just about to wrap up, and they start talking about the fact that who the Colts are going to consider and zero in on now that Josh McDaniels is going back to the Patriots. And I'm like, what the what? So I pull out my phone. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And it was crazy because yesterday on Twitter, some guy was inconspicuously taking pictures of Belichick and Kraft at Robert Kraft at some like restaurant having this like quote unquote secret dinner. And then all of a sudden, you know, later then it's like, uh-oh. And you had to believe that they upped the ante and made him an offer that at least he couldn't refuse. But the ironic thing, because I know people have already been talking about this all day, the ironic thing here is, first the quote comes out that McDaniel's agent said, you're making a huge career-altering mistake by passing up this head coaching job. And because it had no impact evidently on McDaniels, he fired Josh McDaniels today. He said, I'm no longer representing you.
What do you think the reason that the ultimate reason was? Is it the obvious that
I think
he
it's
was TV promised?
12. I think it's Tom Brady. I think. Well, and Trey.
I think it was he was promised.
I'm
going to
give Trey credit for that. Before anybody else said it, Juggalo Trey was saying, "Does this mean he's the heir apparent?" I'm just saying I want to prove the point that Trey actually is an intelligent kid that really follows sports.
Is it that much of a reach though to assume that?
No. Well, look, I said, "Does this mean Frank Reich is going to Indianapolis, because he's the offensive coordinator to the Eagles. The Eagles just won the Super Bowl. Obviously, Doug Peterson was very innovative with his offense. Makes a lot of sense. Lamont comes at me and says, bro, you're way late to the game, man. I was out there letting everybody know that yesterday or something like that, or saying that he might not be a done deal. I'm like, easy, bro. My aspirations are to be you someday then. All I'm saying is people asked me for my ideas on who it could be, and that's who I threw out there.
Yeah, I mean, to think that he stayed because he was promised the gig after Belichick leaves isn't that, I think most people that follow sports even a little bit could come to that rationale. Now, the bigger question might be once Matt Patricia left.
Well,
it became, once that became official, because that might be one of those things where you're like, well, I'm going to move on, because there was a lot of talk that Patricia might get the job and take over for Belichick on that Patriots team.
So you
team
asked
too.
Me, and my answer simply is, one thing that didn't factor into that is Tom Brady. Tom Brady, the last time Josh McDaniels left when he went to Denver, their offense plummeted.
Well, he also had to deal with Tebow.
And he's 40.
Was that the Tebow
and
year?
Everybody is saying, well, he still made the playoffs with Denver.
Yeah.
I'm saying, I'm not talking about Denver's offense. I'm talking about New England's offense once McDaniels left.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant he stayed because of Brady. You're saying Brady
begged
him. And
Brady is all about, you know, making sure with this diet and these stretching and this exercising that he's going to prove that quarterbacks over 40 can still have longevity and have great seasons and all these other things. And he doesn't want to have any, you know, any coaching staff moves or change in the offensive philosophy and play calling to affect what's going to happen on the field with their offense. So I think Brady had as much to do with it as anything, stating, hey, look, I don't want to lose this guy. But then I also believe that there is some credence to the fact that whether it was Kraft or Belichick or the both of them saying, look, it's hard in a year to lose both coordinators. It's going to be tough enough to rebuild on one side of the football.
So they threw some money at him. And
probably
some promises as well. Listen,
and I don't disagree with
that. And what will probably happen is if Brady retires in the next year or two, Belichick moves into the front office somewhere to take a cushy VP job, and the team becomes
Tom Coughlin,
Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, but and here's the thing.
But I felt like,
do you want to be the successor to Belichick?
Well, hold on. Let me finish my point. I felt like that both of those guys, Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels, were probably both eyeing and being eyed to succeed to take over for Bill Belichick. So, but both of them had to make a move as well and say, you know what, I better have a backup plan. And if I can get a head coaching job somewhere else, I'll take it. So to me, maybe it became a game of chicken where whoever leapt first, and Patricia went ahead and moved to Detroit. So once that became official, then it's when we found out that McDaniels decided, nah, I'm not going to
Indy. But both deals were done. Essentially, they were saying that, you know, they couldn't actually put ink to paper because they were still in the playoffs. But everybody from Schefter to Rappaport were saying
that deal was really done. Only one deal got done.
No, because even in the press conference today in Indianapolis, the general manager of the Colts said, look, we had a deal in principle. We had a document done up. We had everything done. They weren't allowed by league rules to sign it. Same thing with Patricia. I don't know when
but
he actually signed it, but the fact of the matter was they didn't interview any more coaches after that because they were under, for all intents and purposes, under the understanding they had a coach. So, and both of them did. But look, this is second go around, and there was a lot of criticism of McDaniels the first go around in terms of ego, maturity, a lot of the things, the way he did it. The other irony in this whole thing is who's the other coach that he probably knows extremely well that did this exact same thing and left some team on the altar to go to another team?
Say again?
Who's the other coach that he would know intimately that went and agreed to take over a team and then on the day of the press conference decided, I'm changing my mind?
Who are you talking about?
Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick had a deal in principle to take the Jets job.
Yeah.
And then just said, I changed my mind.
Yeah.
So he's following those footsteps too. You know, the only thing I threw out there to you is, you talk about big shoes. You got to be careful what you wish for if you want to be the guy that succeeds Bill Belichick, especially if you know Brady's not getting any younger and it's probably going to coincide or be pretty close. When one goes, the other's right behind him.
I don't think that factors into it. All these guys think that they can do a good job. I mean, when you look at it, they're his coordinators, so they know that
how important a quarterback is.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they're going to leave the cupboard bare. I mean, you look at what they've had and what they've given away. I don't think you think about that. I don't think you look at, well, I'm not going to take a job unless there's an elite quarterback. There ain't that many elite quarterbacks.
I'll
if that were the
this.
Case, there'd only be four head coaches in the league.
You can read through all of whatever the back and forth is on the reasons why that he didn't take the Indy job. But to that very point, I think that McDaniels probably thought to some degree, Andrew Luck still isn't right. And I'm going to look like crap because my franchise quarterback, who's got a huge contract, who is being heavily relied upon, and because the cupboard isn't exactly full in Indy, if he's not right, it's not going to be a good job to take.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that makes sense in a way, but you really think a guy is going to turn down an opportunity to be a head coach because he doesn't think that a quarterback is fully healthy? Most of these guys, that's the goal, and it doesn't matter who's on your team. That. These guys think they can win.
So. I think the biggest thing is it depends on the resume. If it's a guy that doesn't have any track record as a head coach, sure, you're going to jump at any team that offers you the job. But if you have, from the credibility standpoint, he's a hell of an offensive coordinator. He's getting a ton of credit for that, and he'll have other opportunities. So I think you select carefully, and I think that that's something that a lot of, especially offensive-minded guys, are going to look at because, Houston needs to look no further than the boys on Kirby and realize how important the quarterback position is. And Cleveland, if you get it wrong, that I think that that's an important factor in whether he'll ever admit it or not. If Luck's not right, that would definitely alter a lot of coaches in terms of choosing to take that team on.
I guess, but by your logic, then there should only be four head coaches in the NFL.
That's not true.
Well, why? You're saying that coaches don't want to go somewhere where there's not a good quarterback.
If there's an unproven head coach that gets an opportunity to run a team, they're going to jump all over it, and they're going to take whatever money you give them, and they're going to try and do their best. But if there's a situation where a guy's proven with a Super Bowl champion that has already been a head coach.
He's proven as a coordinator. He's not proven as a head coach. He failed
Broncos
as a head coach.
He took Tim Tebow to the playoffs. That's a pretty good thing based on what Tebow turned out to be.
Yeah, but that doesn't make him proven.
Okay. All right. For whatever reason, we can agree to disagree. And the Colts are on the lookout for another head coach. I threw out Frank Reich. There's a lot of guys out there that are supposedly going to get a look. Campbell from the Saints, offensive coordinator, is going to get a look by the end of the week. There's a lot of names being bantered about. I don't know if you have any thoughts on it, but it's going to be interesting to see because now they're going to have to try to quickly pick up the pieces. One thing that they did say was the rivalry is back because the Colts have been scorned by the Patriots and they're ticked off about
it.
They got to have a team in order to have a rivalry with the Patriots. So we'll see what happens there. Right now, I want to tell you guys about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. Mattress Mac and his crew, as I've been telling you about for months now, they do a heck of a job at making sure customer service is first. They always give you competitive prices, but quality furniture, same-day delivery, no back order slips, and they are going to make sure that your requests are met and needed and discussed throughout the process. That's the way they do business at Gallery Furniture. The three locations I'm talking about, Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, in the Galleria area across from Dillard's, on Post Oak, and the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where Mattress Mac works at the front desk. He makes you feel at home. He's got plenty of food and drink and a place for the kiddos to hang out while you shop. And then he puts you in the capable hands of a sales staff that's going to make sure that they pay attention to detail, see what you're looking for, get you a lot of selections to choose from, and then take it from there. They have great deals going on right now. Mattress Mac's birthday is the 11th of February, so all month he has deals because he's turning 67. Some deals include 67% off select items, and if you buy $4,000 or more of furniture, the ones marked 67% off, you get 36% back in free accessories. Also, the Astros deal is back, where if the Astros win it all, you get it all. That means you buy $3,000 or more of bedroom furniture, and if the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get a refund for your entire purchase price of your bedroom furniture right there at Gallery Furniture. They do it well at Gallery Furniture, and all the things they say is exactly what they do. No back order slips. You buy today, you get it tonight, and of course, Gallery really will save you money.
Only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yeah, Joe Cocker. You know, the song is appropriate. Last name can take effect. You know, you just throw it out there. Like I said, I'm having fun with it. I don't care. You can keep shaking your head all you want. You do that to me anyway every week, so at least I gave you a reason.
What's like
week?
The fair number of slow songs to dance to at a wedding anyway?
Well, they
I guess
it,
they spray.
It depends. It depends on how long the reception is, but you mix them in. You obviously, the first dance is the first time the couple, as an official couple, come in the room. And then periodically you slow it down because you've got elderly people and lovebirds. And
that's the only reason. Is you play one slow song, maybe every 8 to 9 fast songs, so that the old people feel like they're included. Because they can't dance to the fast songs.
So eight is probably possible. Older slow songs.
Well, 8 is probably possible then over a course of what? 3 hours? 4 hours? However long a wedding lasts?
Sure.
So you're saying what? Like 4 or 5? 3?
I mean, no. It depends on how long the wedding is.
All right.
How long are most receptions?
3-4 hours.
Yeah. Man, 4 hours. I don't know if ours was that long.
Yeah. Do you have to do it that long?
Rockets game was over and everyone left.
Don't get me started, man.
Yours was long?
By the way, we were told that our reception was one of the greatest in the history of weddings. We wouldn't know.
Because
it was a party.
Somebody that's been to every wedding?
All these people were coming up to us, and they still come up to this today when they see us. If we're out at the mall or a shot. Man, that reception. We have no idea, because the one thing we said we didn't want to do was we didn't want to have where you have to greet everybody?
The receiving line.
Receiving line. We did not want to do that. We wanted to enjoy the entire night with all of our guests because we had a ton of people from out of town. And our wedding planner, who went against every wish day of, decided to start a receiving line for us, and we stood there for 3 hours while everybody tore it up.
I feel like you're just bragging about how many people you don't know.
Not even close. And if you want a really sore subject, as much as I'm going to say it, because if you fire up Lisa on this bad boy, woo, it would get
How much
ugly.
Did y'all spend on your wedding?
You don't worry about that.
Was it 6 figures?
You're not going to get anything out of me, but you don't worry about that. Believe
that means
me,
you don't
to have it all to
pay.
Do again, I will
that
warn
you
young people thinking about weddings.
Yes.
Let me just tell you that.
Dude, weddings are the biggest money suck of anything. I think
funerals are, man.
That's true too.
They will get you at the funeral.
Weddings,
yeah, but
funerals,
a wedding,
real estate,
a wedding, what?
Real estate anything that they want to charge you when you're trying to buy a house, they can tack on and real estate. Every little thing, real estate's kind of dirty, but not as dirty as funerals and weddings.
The problem with the wedding is you're just basically starting your marriage off in debt. And then you fight about money for the rest of your marriage until one of you gets sick of the other person's crap and leaves. But that's the formula. That's why half of all marriages end in divorce. Most people fight about money, which is, if that's your thing, I'm not gonna tell anybody how to spend their money if they spend it on a wedding. But I see some of my friends with these lavish weddings, and I'm just like, you're an idiot. You're wasting your money. You're throwing it away. Save it for your lawyer, because when y'all get divorced, you're going to wish you had that much money.
I'd throw it if I had that money. Like, if I had the money to throw around, I'd do it. I'd throw a massive wedding. I don't care. Yeah, if I had the money, like if I was a millionaire.
See, I thought my wife would want that. I thought she would want to invite a bunch of people.
Yeah.
She was the complete opposite. She didn't want
you
anyone.
You be thankful for that.
Oh, trust me. Hashtag blessed.
Yeah.
I am super happy that we got married in a drive-thru.
And I think it's a trend now. Simpler is better.
Really?
I mean, they still want big parties, but they want simple big parties.
Is it because I see all these say yes to the dress and they're spending $15,000 on a wedding dress?
Isn't that we were watching Super Bowl Sunday?
Don't remind me. Yeah, but they spend thousands upon thousands of dollars.
The dress alone
to wear it one time
is a nightmare.
Well, because you got to find 20 females that go together and they have to wear the same dress. You know, I don't know how that even works. Like how
I'm
they
just telling you, Nick, you have
the
a
wedding
lot
dress
to be
alone,
very,
I'm
very
sure.
Leery of if you head to that day ever, because yeah, chicks in the dress. Oh man. And those dresses, like Barry said, you wear them once. They are not cheap.
Does she still have hers, Lisa?
Yeah.
In a closet somewhere.
Ready for this one? She still has both of them.
Yeah, you told me this story, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Oh, no.
Talking about hot buttons I don't want to press today.
You're a better
I bet
man
you both
than
of them
me.
Are worth, like,
woo,
a Toyota Camry
man.
Or something like that.
You're a better man than me.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We just struck a nerve there, didn't we?
Struck my pocketbook, but no. Yeah, it was, jeez.
So Father of the Bride didn't pay for it all?
Hey, Clarence is on hold. Let's get to Clarence and see what he's got going. 2 days in a row from the big cat. The big cat is on the line. What is up, Clarence?
I like how Jill didn't answer that question.
Yeah.
Still.
I do too, Clarence.
Yeah. Sore subject, I guess, man.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind with Josh McDaniels?
Man, you know that meeting had to just be, he was all packed up, had his box ready, getting ready to go out for the door, and he's like, hey, Josh, come here, sit down. Let's talk to you for a second. He's getting ready. I see this is Belichick and Brady's last year. Something in the back of my head just saying that both of them are going to go and they're going to clean house and start fresh. But to touch on what you guys are saying about a coach not going to a place where there's an elite quarterback, I have to agree with Barry. Because you remember that Sean Payton went to the Saints, and we didn't have an elite quarterback at the time. And Drew Brees, as much as he was proven in San Diego, he was coming off his injury. So we didn't know what we were getting at the time.
Well, so you had a guy that could play, though. The guy could play in the league. He had proved that in San Diego. You're right, you don't know about the injury.
He could play in the league, but you didn't know what you were getting. I mean, they say that injury was supposed to end his career at that time.
Yeah.
Because that's why Miami passed on him, because they didn't know what they were getting. They knew he could play, but after that injury, they thought he was done. But they probably pulled Josh McDaniels on the side and said, hey, Belichick's going to leave next year. We don't know what Brady's going to do. He might leave next year. The team's all yours. We'll give you a couple more duckies, and then we'll start from scratch. And what do you think about that? And he signed on the dotted line. And I don't blame him. If someone promised you, hey, this team is yours, you got Andrew Luck, who's damaged good, you're going to get a fresh quarterback, not in time,
well,
Brady.
I'll say this, too. If you're the Crafts, you really, really like the rank and file, the way it's organized by the Patriots in the Belichick system, and there's no better way to keep the Belichick system in place than pick one of his coordinators to take over.
Now, somebody had a great point, and
exactly.
Yeah, and appreciate the call, Clarence, but somebody had a great point about this too, which is, because I assume that they had a handshake deal in place that he's the heir apparent to Belichick. Why else would he stay? Sure, they could throw money at him, but again, a head coaching gig, no matter where it is the ultimate prize. But doesn't that violate the Rooney Rule?
Not as long as you interview him. Look at the Gruden deal. They knew from the get-go that Gruden was their guy, but as long as they interview one minority candidate.
Right, but if there's a handshake in place, a handshake deal in place. Well, that was my response. They said, well, you know, what if it and my response was, if they don't know about it and this was all backroom talk and no one is aware of it, then all they got to do when Belichick leaves is interview an assistant or somebody on the team that's a minority, and then they, quote, cover the Rooney Rule, which they've turned that rule into a joke.
It is. It's a complete travesty. It's a joke. You're right, because of the fact that the Raiders knew Davis had a deal in place with Gruden for a couple weeks, but then just to make sure that they covered their butts for the Rooney Rule instead of doing it the right way, T. Martin, who's in the same city as the offensive coordinator at USC, T. Martin goes in for an interview, and suddenly they've done fulfilled all the requirements of the Rooney Rule, and then they announced Gruden was their head coach, which was the worst kept secret in America.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, the way the rule stands right now, they're not even worried about that. They'll find their coach and then worry about dodging that instead of doing it proactively and interviewing a lot of minority candidates like they're supposed to.
It's a damn shame.
It is. Yeah. It really is. And Nick bit hook, line, and sinker on one of the biggest.
Oh, my God, I'm going to kill Trey. Now he should be scared. Now he should be very scared. I'm going to make his ass hop on one foot for a whole second.
Russell Wilson has just been traded. Breaking news.
Why did he do that to
Because
you?
Adam Schefter's tweet, that punk ass. Ugh.
What happened to Schefter's tweet? What
he said, he had a joke tweet that said,
Russell Wilson has just been traded. And then they show it's legit. The Rangers, who had the rights, baseball rights to Russell Wilson, have traded his baseball rights to the Yankees.
That's funny.
So he walks in. Hey, guess what? Russell Wilson was traded. I'm like, oh, crap. And then after I told you, he's like, to the Yankees. I'm like, I hate you so much, man.
He just wanted you to hear, oh, you wrecked me.
He's going
to
hop in. He's going to join us the next segment, but he has to hop in studio on one foot on video for the entire 10-minute segment.
Oh, that's not nice. You know he'll have a heart attack.
All you gotta do, Nick, is tell him you're really ticked off about the fact that he got you, and he will squirm all over. He's terrified of you, I'm telling you.
A-hole intern.
That's funny.
He got you.
Yeah, all right. In our ear. It was right. Russell Wilson's been traded.
Barry, just imagine Barry's if like I said that on the air.
Talking, he's like, what? And I'm like, no, just don't worry about
it. I had to look on ESPN. I was like, nope.
Yeah, I already knew that was coming. So
that's funny.
All right, we'll continue with hour one of the three-hour extravaganza we call The Usual Suspects. If you guys want to join, 713-780-3776. You can call like Clarence did. You can text. You can tweet. We are available up until 4 right here on ESPN 97.5.
Tonight. ESPN 97.5.
Now I have the time of my life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the first hour of a Way Back Wednesday on Wedding Songs pre-2000. I have the first hour. I did more of the first dance approach. I misunderstood. I'll get killed for it, and I don't really care because I get killed every week. Then Barry and Nick will pick up the pieces after that. But we are trying to weekly get you guys involved in the selection process of the topic.
Now, this is the song, if I'm not mistaken, that was played in Dirty Dancing.
Yep.
During the same scene that Odell Beckham Jr. and okay,
yep.
So it's timely.
And before that, remember that they did the, and I'll try to be as politically correct and nice as possible. The portly couple tried to reenact this in one commercial,
on the
and
table.
She goes for the same jump move. And when he tries to catch her, they fall backwards, smash a table, and have to go get medical attention.
Yes, they try to do the lift.
Yeah, and now, and by the way, what's her name? Jennifer Grey, is that her name?
Yep.
She got a nose job after Dirty Dancing. Doesn't look anything.
Never got work again, if I'm not mistaken, really, did she?
Yeah, I think that people could recognize her in part because of her facial features. And once she got the nose job.
Yeah, nobody liked her anymore.
No one could recognize her
anymore. I don't blame her. Any thoughts on the new Astros slogan, hashtag never settle?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be freaking out over a team slogan.
I would have gone from camels to the big time, always a champion.
Yeah. What was the Texans slogan? Didn't they have one?
Mediocrity is great.
No, that wasn't their slogan.
Prices go up while the performance goes down.
No, I don't think that was their slogan either.
Red, white, and you.
I don't remember what. No. We need to look it up.
Okay.
Most of them are corny. I think Earn It was a good one, but that was pretty simple. But most of them are actually pretty corny, so Never Settle doesn't surprise
Bullish
me.
Between the GM and coach? No?
No. Somebody texted the show and said, Barry, did Matt Patricia get approached like McDaniels? I mean, I don't know. I would guess maybe.
Look,
I think they were both talked to, but then they both had to have different options. And maybe Patricia felt like he wasn't going to get the job. Or maybe he had heard through the grapevine that they think they were tabbing McDaniels. You just don't know what's going on. Look, if you don't think that there wasn't politics involved in all this, I think you're being narrow in your thinking. Because just like any other place where you work, there's office politics. There has to be politics between the organization and Belichick and the coordinators, because there's only one head coaching job.
And Patricia already had his mind made up, and this was his first coaching job. Mm-hmm. And I think he wanted to. And the other thought that I had while you were reading that text is, let's be honest, if you look at the game and you look at the two coordinators, there were people out there that said the Lions should have remorse and try and get out of the deal because of how poorly the Patriots defense played, as opposed to an offense that let Brady throw for over 500 yards, scored on every time they touched the ball. And if you want to talk about weighing the two, well, one looks a lot better than the other at the end of the day when you look at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Somebody also texted the show and said, Joel greater than Barry.
What?
Yeah, that one. There's a vote for Joel.
We have all equal parts.
I don't know if that was the
Even
list
you,
or I think
yeah,
that's
I was just going
to
say, was that the list? Or
no, I think that's just in general.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that's just in general. What about Wisenhunt for the Colts job? Malarkey with the AFC South ties, out of the box choice.
Nah, look, mm-hmm. You talk about a track record. I'm just not enamored with a lot of those guys. I'm not a Wisenhunt guy. I'm not Malarkey guy. I'm not who got the second interview? He's in Pittsburgh. He interviewed twice for the Arizona job this offseason, and then took his name out of the running. But there, like, we've talked about this. There are guys that are just born to be coordinators and do great things. I think Wade Phillips is one of those guys. But I think as a head coach, I think it's a different ball game. Some can handle it, some can't.
Yeah, I didn't keep up with all the coaching candidates for the Colts before they had decided with on McDaniels, but I certainly can Google.
Because, the rumor is
because
is
I have Googles.
They wanted Kansas City's offensive coordinator who went to Chicago. They wanted Carolina's defensive coordinator who went to Arizona. Basically, everybody that took a job was someone that the Colts had interviewed.
So the names on this list, John DeFilippo.
Still remaining, you mean? Or are
yeah,
you?
Okay. Yeah. Of options. This was posted 4 hours ago.
All right.
This is from the Indy Star.
Okay.
They're obviously going to be more in tune with the options that they looked at. John DeFilippo, Dan Campbell.
Campbell from the Saints, I mentioned.
Yep. Frank Reich and Dave, I don't know how to pronounce this. He's the special teams coordinator for the Chiefs. T-O-U-B? Tobe?
Twop.
Twop? Whatever. Twop.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not up on the Kansas City special teams coordinator, but those are four names that they threw out.
Wasn't Leslie Frazier's name answered about, too?
None of those names really jump out at you other than Campbell. None of those names where you're like, yeah, well, I guess Frank Reich. But none of these are
now, let me ask you a question on Frank Reich, because I threw it out there, too. Mm-hmm. So he's the offensive coordinator of the Eagles. So first glance, you say, oh, yeah. But here's the thing. Does this bother you? He didn't call the plays.
What do you mean?
Peterson
called the plays. Yeah. Yeah, that's another one of those things. Remember, I wouldn't read too much into it because he's had a track record of being an offensive coordinator calling plays.
Right.
Kind of like with Shanahan and Kubiak. If you recall, Kubiak did a lot of the play calling. Shanahan was the OC. I mean, they would discuss it, but Kubiak was ultimately calling the plays. I would imagine that he had plenty of input. I mean, it's not like he was some 25-year-old kid that has never been to that level of coaching in the NFL. So,
yeah, and the thing is, even if you're not pulling the trigger on calling the plays, you're learning from a guy who has proven to be a very innovative offensive coordinator and knows what to call at the right times. So at least you've gotten a lot of experience seeing what the right calls to make are.
Right. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I mean, he was the OC, or was he the head coach for the Bills when they had to come back against the Oilers? I know he was involved. Was he the quarterback?
Frank Reich was the quarterback.
Oh, that's right. I knew he was involved. Yeah. Because they talked about the fact that he was with that, and he was with the comeback for the Eagles if they were to get down or something like that.
I think he had a college coaching job, too.
That's what it was. Yeah. I just remember him talking about that. But he's got plenty of experience.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's the guy that you look at and go, oh, man, he's definitely a must-have head coaching option. Although, if you're going to give him – I mean – who do you give credit to on that Eagles organization for the offense?
Oh, Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
So you don't
look at Wright and think, definitely.
And to your point on coaches, though, I mean, you're going to jump at a job to get out from under that umbrella of being labeled as a guy that's not a play caller and doesn't get the credit for the offense. Let me go prove myself. Let me go take this head coaching job.
Yeah. And there's another name, too, that I found with the Googles. Bills DC Leslie Frazier.
That's what I was going to say. I
also reported it as a possibility
last
for the
night,
job.
Everybody, so. That was the hot name.
Yeah.
That he was going to get it. So now we'll see if he's even going to get it. CBS Sports says he's supposed to get an interview, but they haven't booked anything.
All right. If you need to sell your home and you need to do it quickly, the folks over at Gulf State Home Buyers say, hey, no problem. We'll buy it from you. We'll give you a cash offer and tell you how much we'll pay for it and take it off your hands. And that's the great thing about Gulf State Home Buyers. 281-717-6100 is the number. I want you to call them and let them help you out. And it doesn't matter what your situation is, whether you have back taxes, a delinquent HOA dues, divorce, bankruptcy. If you're going through a foreclosure, maybe you're in unemployment and you need to get out from under that house. Maybe you're waiting on your FEMA check and you're tired of waiting. You don't want to live in this house that's been flooded before. You want to get out of it. Call Gulf State Home Buyers, 281-717-6100. Call them and let them help you. They make you a cash offer. They handle all the paperwork from the beginning all the way to closing. We were just talking about real estate, what a hassle can be and the fees and everything else. They take care of the process of the paperwork and everything involved. So that you can just sit back, relax, and get the cash for your home. They have attorneys, title companies, an entire in-house staff of professionals ready, willing, and able to help you get your home sold in a stress-free way. So call them, 281-717-6100. Get a clear understanding of your situation. Find out where you're at. Find out what you can get for it. Maybe you just need a quick closing. Maybe you're having title issues. It doesn't matter, guys. Call Gulf State Home Buyers right now. Let them answer your questions. Let them make you a cash offer. 281 281- 717-6100. 717-6100 or hit them up on the web, GulfStateHomeBuyers.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.